the Rule of Threes Podcast. The Rule of Threes Podcast. It's the Rule of Threes Podcast with Chris and Casey.
It's the Rule of Threes Podcast. It is Friday, May 1st. I'm Chris Grace.
I'm Casey Lawrence.
And we are coming at you. We got through another month alive.
Congratulations.
If you're listening to this, yeah, I'm proud of all of us. If you're listening to this, you're alive, I think.
Oh boy. A lot of NBA news this week, you know, really a lot of important stuff going on in the league. The league is shut down. But what league am I talking about? I'm talking about the NBA in 1995. Because of an unknown virus that is taking the abilities of players.
Yeah. Did you know this was in this movie when we chose this movie?
I had seen this movie before many, many times. But I had not remembered that it was so prescient to our time of the world right now.
There was a scene where they all put on gas masks.
Yeah. There was a scene where they were at the Great Western Forum.
Yeah.
And it was right next to the beach, which is hilarious.
Yep.
Because it's not right next to the beach at all. And they say we're canceling the rest of the NBA season.
Mm-hmm. For the safety of whatever.
Yeah.
I was like, God, this movie is like it's too close to home.
Too close to home. Yeah.
We're talking about Space Jam, of course.
Of course. Yeah. The movie of the week. Chris, you had never seen Space Jam. Now you have. is your life worse or better because of it?
Oh, I mean, you know, probably measurably worse. But yeah, the thing is that this movie is not for an adult.
No.
So I cut it a little bit of slack because it's very clearly not for this movie was probably never for me at any age. Considering that I was never a Michael Jordan fan.
Yeah.
And even the other players in it, I'm not a fan of any of the other players in it.
Are you a fan of Looney Tunes?
Not particularly. And if I was, I don't know that this would have satisfied that itch either, because the presence of the Looney Tunes in this movie is very weird.
Yes.
All the voices seem off.
Okay.
And also a lot of the jokes, I'd say, were a little strange to me.
You're forgetting about the best joke of all when they spit all over the floor and then it became clean.
Yes.
That was really the only joke.
Oh, no. That there was also Porky Pig saying, I wet myself.
Yeah. Well,
when he doesn't wear pants, by the way. So he just pissed all over his lower half.
That's the kind of stuff that the kids are into.
Yeah.
The kids, they love that. There's one good thing about Space Jam.
Mm.
And I can bet that you could guess what that is.
Oh, one good thing about Space Jam. I don't know, because it might be the one thing that you say is good is one thing I hated.
Oh, really?
What is the one good thing about Space Jam?
The soundtrack.
Oh, okay. I was okay with that. In fact, many times I was thinking to myself, man, is this where that song became a thing?
Yes. You know? And the answer is always yes.
That's so like that the thing. I Believe I Can Fly.
Uh-huh.
It's from this.
Yes.
Of course, the Space Jam song.
Party people in the house, let's go. It's your boy.
But like stuff like the
they were using that was from other stuff.
But that was kind of, but that was like a representation of like arena music.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, actually the soundtrack was quite good. I thought you were going to say that the one good thing in it was Bill Murray.
Oh no. Bill Murray was awful.
Terrible.
I mean, Bill Murray has had some really fantastic roles over the course of his career. None of them have ever been when he's been playing Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Anytime he's playing Bill Murray, it's like, I don't want this. I didn't like Zombieland. Uh-huh. Get him the fuck out of there. Bill Murray, anytime, like, people are always like, Bill Murray's this awesome guy. I don't care about Bill Murray in that way.
Neither do I.
That's not me.
I actually did think he was pretty good in Zombieland, and Zombieland I did like, but I generally agree with you. Also, I did think, I mean, do we even need to do a plot summary? I assume I'm the last person listening to this podcast that has not seen this movie.
Okay.
So yeah. I don't know how much of this movie we need to go over. It was also different than I expected.
Yeah, because weren't you expecting any semblance of a real plot? Or like some sort of stakes or buildup or anything?
Well, I honestly thought that we were going to see more of Barkley, Ewing, Muggsy, Larry, and Sean. Of course, the five best players in the league at the time.
Yeah, well, it's very funny. Even in the movie, they're like, yeah, they didn't even just pick the good players. They even picked this crappy backup from the 76ers.
Right. Yeah, because they were like, oh, he's stolen all your talent. I was like, they didn't take a lot from Sean Bradley.
Hey.
So I thought they were part of the game. They're not. They're just like, you know, a very insignificant side story, really.
They are. It's just their powers. They're stolen from them in front of Patricia Heaton for 5.5 seconds.
Yes, Patricia Heaton and Dan Castellaneta.
Yes, that's right.
Patricia Heaton, noted Republican.
Oh, yes. Now I have noted that.
I actually thought then, well, if they're taking the talents from these guys, then how about having the Monstars play like the guys? You know, that would have been cool.
Or having one of the Monstars dress up as Grandmama, because Larry Johnson had two lines in the movie and they were both my grandma.
Yeah, actually, they could have had that Monstar be a grandma that interacted with the Looney Tunes grandma.
It could have been so funny.
Because actually, the Looney Tunes grandma, I think, had more lines than Larry Johnson did.
Yeah, probably.
So Space Jam.
Oh, also, did you also know that Patrick Ewing can still fuck?
Wait, what was that from?
They're in the they're in the psychiatrists. That's right.
Yes, very bizarre joke.
Well, I don't know. Patrick Ewing dogged throughout his career for his inability to win a championship. Maybe also now we know, because, you know, we weren't paying attention back then, he was also dogged throughout his career for his inability to fuck.
Yeah, which is exactly the kind of insinuation you want to put into a kids movie.
Yeah, definitely what we were looking for.
Also, a fair amount of, I would say, borderline sexual harassment from Bugs Bunny.
Yes. You know, good for, what's that character's name?
Well, I don't know. It was funny. She was introduced as if it's funny watching it with hindsight from 2020, knowing that that character never got any traction.
Yeah.
She's introduced as if it's like, whoa, get a load of this new intellectual property. We're going to market the hell out of her and these five little Monstars. They're going to be. Well, you're going to remember these guys the rest of your life. And I was like, I haven't seen or heard of any of these characters before.
Yeah, nope.
She didn't stick as a character.
No, she did not.
Possibly because she spent most of the movie being like pretty cool and independent. You know, she wants to be known for her basketball skill. And then she ended up swooning over Bugs Bunny at the end.
Yeah. You know why? Because Lola Bunny, she just... she doesn't do much anymore. I guess she's been in other stuff. Hmm. She was on the Looney Tunes show a lot, I guess. And she's been voiced by Kristen Wiig. She was voiced by Kristen Wiig for 3 years.
Oh,
I mean, I guess she's been around. I mean, who were we? Were we watching Looney Tunes, new Looney Tunes cartoons in the years after Space Jam? Like, I think the answer is no.
No. But, yeah. I for a lot of the movie, I kept thinking, like, I don't understand what Looney Tunes, what their tone is supposed to be. I know they're a little more irreverent than Disney, but I just had a hard time getting on board with all the Looney Tunes stuff. And then spent a lot of the movie asking my husband, Eric, who's this guy? who is this?
Okay,
is that Tom and Jerry? No, that's not Tom and Jerry. That's two mice talking.
Yeah, no, those are just the little mice. That's so funny. If you don't have a good idea who these Warner Brothers cartoon characters are, you're in for a bad time in Space Jam, because the only funny stuff is the fact that the Tasmanian Devil is funny, that the Roadrunner and Wile E. Coyote are funny together.
We barely
Sylvester
saw any Wile E.
together.
We barely saw any Roadrunner. He was in the locker room, and I was like, why aren't you putting him on the court?
Yeah, I mean, there's only so much court, you know?
Well, they gave court to, like, They gave more screen time to Granny and those two mice that were the announcers. And then there was another little mouse that like talked a lot.
Yeah, and he got stomped on. He was like the last guy on the bench before Wayne Knight, who in this movie plays his character pretty well, I thought.
Wayne Knight, I would argue, is like the second lead of this movie.
He you don't have to argue it. He is the second lead of that movie.
Yeah.
Like he is the second person in the credits. It's Michael Jordan, Wayne Knight, Space Jam.
Yeah. And then he basically played a combination of Newman and the guy from Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And he was fine.
Yeah. I mean, like, if there was a good thing about this movie, it was that Wayne Knight played his character well. Like, he did it, the craft of acting good.
Yes.
Because you know who did not do the craft of acting very well?
Who?
Michael Jordan.
No, he didn't.
Michael Jordan is an awful actor, and it's pretty funny.
Yeah, at one point this, I was like, whoa, look at the charisma flying off the screen.
Oh, God. He has gotten better in his old age, but I think that just, like, acting gummed him up because he's, like, pretty expressive in the documentary that he's doing on ESPN right now. Like, he's a good character in that documentary, and just none of that comes off in this, like, completely sterilized version of Michael Jordan who just, like, doesn't laugh at anything, doesn't have any reaction other than, like, I'm Michael Jordan.
Yeah, you know, I wonder if – I feel like the real part of Michael Jordan that people find kind of, like, maddening but also intriguing is just his, like, sheer arrogance.
Yeah.
And his ability to deliver on it. And actually, there was very little of that in this movie, except when he went to go give the powers back to the five guys at the end.
Yeah, I mean, he knew how to act across from players from that he's played with.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but otherwise, he was just kind of too nice. It was too polished and calculated.
Yeah, he should have, like, in making this movie, they should have made him more fallible, more, like, I don't know, have a reaction to stuff that wasn't just like, what's going on here? I don't know. Yeah. He was miserable.
Well, this definitely seems like Warner Brothers trying to do some version of Roger Rabbit.
Yes.
Which I didn't realize. I don't know why I didn't realize this, but the amount that they try to, like, integrate real world footage with animated, after all, I was like, oh, they basically set him up to be like Eddie Valiant from Roger Rabbit.
Oh, yeah.
It just doesn't work.
No, it really doesn't. I mean, he's stuck down there and he, like, has no sense of urgency. It never feels like he cares other than, like, we just got to go out and do this. These are my friends. Yeah. It's like, I don't believe you, Michael. I don't believe any choices you're making.
It actually would have been interesting if his motivation for winning was he didn't care about the Earth at all or anything else. He only cared about just the fact that he was about to lose to the
people. Yeah.
Yes. Like, if he became a really craven, you know, everything you hear about Michael Jordan, which is this, like, if you try to win at poker against him, he's going to keep you in the room until he beats you kind of thing.
Yeah.
So there was one moment of genuine laughter for me. And that was when the spaceship came back to the minor league baseball game at the end. And it was a big fanfare and it opens up and Wayne Knight was the first one to walk out. That I genuinely laughed at that because it was just a funny misdirect.
That's very fair. I mean, I laughed at Vlade Divac trying to act as well. That was pretty funny.
Wait, who? So it was Vlade Divac, Cedric Ceballos, and who was the third guy?
Sedale Threat?
Oh, maybe that's who that was. He's the one who punched somebody. Sedale Threat punched Ralph Sampson? Is that right?
No.
Or is that Jerry Seasting? I don't know. Oh, Sedale Threat punches Danny Ainge. That's what I have in here.
There it is.
He definitely punched somebody. Wait, who was the coach of the Thunder before the current one?
Oh, Scott Brooks.
Didn't he? Oh, not Scott Brooks. Who's the Orlando coach then? He's Scott Brooks. He punched somebody, didn't he?
I guess he punched somebody. That, I mean, that sounds like Scott Skiles.
It seems like a Scott Skiles thing. It doesn't seem like a Scott Brooks thing.
Yeah.
By the way, this movie left Netflix today. So I saw it at the very last moment that I could have seen it.
Congratulations. Aren't you just glad that you spent the time watching that movie?
Well, the way I was able to convince Eric to watch it was that it was only 90 minutes long.
It's so wild. It felt like a half hour episode of a sitcom. It goes by very quickly because nothing happens and there's no stakes and you never really feel like there's a thing that's happening.
So I am glad I saw it because, as I think I mentioned, this comes up in improv shows all the time. Space Jam. At least once every 50 improv shows, Space Jam is mentioned, and I wish I had any points of reference to talk about Space Jam, and now I do.
You know what it is? Is because people probably know that you like basketball.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, the only thing I know about basketball is Space Jam, so we'll be able to make a connection here. And then they throw out, oh, God, these guys are a real-life Monstar team.
Right. The other reason why I'm glad to fill that cultural reference gap that I had before. I also do admire this movie for just using Michael Jordan's retirement from baseball. Like, I think that's hilarious. I think it speaks well of him that they were okay with him being made fun of as a baseball player.
That's fair.
I thought that was a very smart, interesting thing. That's probably the thing I was most interested in this movie. So when was this? Was it shot between? I want to look up when this was shot relative to his various careers.
Yeah,
because I wonder if it was shot his first year back from, from baseball. Well, it must have been, right? Because they kind of
Summer 1995, right when he announced the I'm Back press release.
Okay. They could have had any footage, but they implied that he came back to the Bulls and did well.
So it was filmed summer of 95. I'll bet they added in that extra footage once way after production was done.
All right, cool. I mean, they would have loved if he'd won the championship. They could add that footage in. Of course, the year he came back, Nick, what's his name, stole the ball from him and the Orlando Magic beat them. One of the most enjoyable playoff series. Nick Anderson, I believe, stole the ball from Jordan at the end and hit a couple free throws and won the game. And then was it also Nick Anderson who missed 4 free throws in a row against the Rockets the next series?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. But he failed his first year back. I'll tell you one other thing I thought about was I was thinking about how these old school dudes, by the way, that was the 95 finals. Okay, 95 finals. Anyway, I was thinking about how these old school dudes from the NBA are always, even Bird said this recently, I wasn't friends with any of the people I competed with. But I was like, okay, well, here's Ewing and Barkley, who are presumably his rivals.
Yeah.
Basically, lining up to genuflect at the altar of Jordan in this movie. And basically allow themselves to be portrayed as just, kind of second-tier hacks.
Yeah.
Yes, it was Nick Anderson who missed 4 free throws in a row in the finals against the Rockets. I think this was game 1. So yeah. Yes, the Magic were up by 3 with 10 seconds left. And he missed 4 free throws in a row. And I want to say Robert Reed hit a 3-pointer or something. Anyway, Kenny Smith hit it maybe. And then they ended up, of course, losing the series. I don't know. What else can we say about Space Jam?
I do want to talk about the soundtrack a little bit because the soundtrack for me plays an important part in my life. When this movie came out, I had either given the soundtrack as a gift or received it as a gift or kind of every single one of my friends who had a birthday or a birthday party at this time got multiple copies of the Space Jam CD as a present. And so there was just Space Jam soundtracks floating around everywhere. And I got a copy of the Space Jam soundtrack, and it's so good. It's so much better than the movie. It's like, there's funny skits on it. There's good music. There's like specific, there's like Seal songs. There's, you know, just, it is a fantastic piece of like music history, in a way that like, you gotta listen to the original Space Jam soundtrack all the way through, because that's way better than watching the movie.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah.
I will note that on, Wikipedia, this movie has, I'm sorry, on Amazon, this movie has 4.7 out of 5 rating and 3,996 customer ratings.
Wow.
But I wanted to look at the Space Jam track list, just get a sense of what's on this. So we've got Fly Like an Eagle by Seal.
Yes.
The Winner by Coolio. Amazing. I don't remember that.
Yeah, that's a good one. And it's not in the, it does not appear in the film.
Oh. Space Jam by Quad City DJs. That's the famous song. I Believe I Can Fly.
Yeah.
Hit 'em High, the Monstars anthem.
Yeah, that song is so good. Hit 'em high, hit 'em high, hit 'em high, hit 'em high. How do you hit 'em low, hit 'em low? I'm coming straight to the hole. It's like a great, amazing song sung from the Monstars perspective. Coolio, Method Man, LL Cool J, Busta Rhymes, Be Real. Are you kidding me? Like, it's a great song.
I thought there were too many dunks in this game, by the way.
Oh, 100%. But I mean, I guess it makes sense because every single one of the Monstars was taller than the rim. So why do anything but dunk?
And also, dunks are probably easier to animate because you're just showing the ball. You don't have to calculate the correct arc for a ball. I did appreciate that Michael Jordan did a couple of like finger rolls at one point.
Yes.
I also thought his arm stretching at the end was horrific looking.
I mean, the effects were not great in this movie. The animation was fine. That was weird.
Yeah.
When they balled up Michael Jordan into the basketball the first time the Monstars met him, that looked so terrible. That was like,
looked really terrible.
Really awful.
Also, there's some really bad green screening of the bulldog at various points. The threatening bulldog.
Yes. Yeah.
So is the song Basketball Jones by Barry White,
yes,
which is used very strangely in this movie. That's around, I think, when Patrick Ewing is talking about performing.
Yes.
Is that where that Basketball Jones blog got their name? Some other meaning?
Basketball Jones is a song by Cheech and Chong from 1973.
Okay.
It became like more related to like this particular movement, the song is better here with the Basketball Jones because Chris Rock, who does he play in the Basketball Jones song?
No idea.
Lil Penny.
Oh, was that in the movie?
Yes. I mean, I don't know if the Lil Penny part was, but I know Basketball Jones was.
No, I remember hearing Barry White at one point, but I don't remember hearing Lil Penny involved. When why is Penny or Lil Penny not in this movie?
That's a great question. Probably because Michael was pissed at them for being good. I don't know.
When Muggsy Bogues came on, I did ask Eric how tall he thought Muggsy Bogues was, and he said 6'10", because he thought all basketball players were very tall.
Oh, that's so funny.
5'3", Muggsy Bogues was.
That's one of the great things about Muggsy Bogues is he can win you some trivia.
Well, also Muggsy Bogues and Spud Webb are the players that make other people.
Spud Webb was pretty tall for a short guy.
Spud Webb was 5'8".
Yeah, that's pretty tall for a short guy.
And pretty fly for a white guy.
Exactly.
Though Spud Webb and Muggsy Bogues are like the two guys that make every other like annoying person in the world think that they can be in the league.
Yes. Know,
because they're like, I mean, all you have to do is work hard enough and just get your skills high enough and you can be like, look at those guys. It's like, actually those guys are like, have insane physical gifts as well.
Yes.
You know, for Spudweb to win the dunk contest means he has been gifted some insane genetics.
Oh yeah.
Most 5'8 people do not have. And my guess is that I know Muggsy Bogues was not able to dunk the ball, but my guess is that he had, a lot of quickness is how I would put it.
Yes, I agree.
Boy, this movie was quite a ride. I'm glad I saw it. I was just a little stunned while watching it. I was like, I don't understand why this became a thing anyone cares about ever again. Like as a kid, like why it's a thing that you are like, oh, when I was a kid, I saw this movie. You know, like, let's see. I mean, I was definitely too old for this movie when it came out, but like even so there's a window of people that I guess this is the same window as like Saved by the Bell people.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I just am surprised that it just seems bad. I don't know. I mean, but then again, you know, I like The Dark Crystal and I guess other people can see The Dark Crystal and they think it's bad or something. I would argue that Dark Crystal is a better basketball movie than Space Jam.
Whoa. Well, I tell you what, though. I did watch a worse basketball movie than Space Jam this week.
Ooh, what was that?
I watched a movie on Disney Plus called The Absent-Minded Professor.
Okay.
Are you familiar with The Absent-Minded Professor?
What year is this from?
1961.
Is this like Don Knotts or something?
No, it is not. It is
Dean Jones.
It's got Tommy Kirk.
So what kind of basketball movie is this?
It is the first Flubber movie.
Oh, okay. Oh, so okay. this is Fred McMurray.
It is Fred McMurray, yes.
Okay, all right. So this is like Flubber.
This is the first Flubber movie, right? Because okay. Flubber that came out with Robin Williams is a remake of this movie.
This is the stuff that makes you fly or bounce that or jump. That is
bouncy. So, like the idea behind Flubber is that when you drop it, it comes back up higher than where you dropped it from. It does not follow the laws of physics. It goes further than that.
And okay, it's an invention. I can see. It would have an application for basketball then.
Yes. And in this movie, truly the absolute worst basketball you've ever seen in your entire fucking life. it was surreal to put this on the television and watch it in 2020. I could not even begin to tell you like what or why this happened. So the reason that I put it on was because I had it in my brain that my dad worked on this movie.
Oh, what?
And so I called him up and I was like, Dad, did you work on this movie? I feel like I remember you telling me that you worked on this movie. And he was like, I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Wait, what would he have done on this movie?
I remember he like worked in production on like making something for the movie. Like,
okay.
So I got my wires crossed. He did not work on The Absent-Minded Professor.
Okay.
He worked on the sequel, Son of Flubber.
Oh, he did?
Yes, he did. He helped because he had just graduated from high school, and he helped make an inflatable suit for the sequel, Son of Flubber, that they used in a football sequence.
Okay. So wait, when you asked him if he had worked on Absent-Minded Professor, he wasn't like, oh, no, I worked on the sequel.
No.
He said, what the hell are you talking about?
Yes, exactly. My dad his memory is not so great.
But then did you ask him, hey, did you work on Son of Flubber?
No, I asked him. I was like, I kept pressing. I was like, there was something you did. You worked on a movie. And he was like, yeah, I helped make an inflatable suit or something. I worked for like a company that did vacuum repair or something. And we got commissioned to do an inflatable suit. And then I found out that it was the inflatable suit from Son of Flubber. So I got to find that video on YouTube and send it to him. And if you have Disney Plus, do not watch The Absent-Minded Professor. Anyone, don't do it. It's truly an awful movie with just like horrifically outdated gender roles, just like terribly unfunny, just like pranks that he does with his flubber car, and like a weird subplot that it turns into the like actual entire plot of the movie, where he flies his car over Washington, D.C., and they're going to shoot him down because he doesn't identify himself. It's like, what in the holy fuck is going on in this movie?
Wow.
I don't know. I just got Disney Plus due to somebody's login. Mm-hmm. And they have so many of these old movies, like, you know, the Shaggy Dog and like all these other like studio movies. Because like the movies people remember from the 60s from Disney that are good are like the animated ones, or like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, or like that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
I did not realize just how many of these shitty studio movies they pumped out that are just absolute fucking crap.
Well, also, I mean, Disney was kind of sort of on the skids before Little Mermaid. It was kind of a company that people thought was dying.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that.
Little Mermaid like started this like renaissance. Now that you have Disney Plus, though, the thing you got to watch is Encore.
Did you say Encore?
Encore. That's the show with Kristen Bell, where they reunite musical theater casts from high school. That is unquestionably one of the best shows of 2019. It is amazing.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I'm being completely genuine. It is so entertaining.
Okay.
They'll take a class from like 1976 and like, you guys did Oklahoma, and now we're going to bring you back in the modern day, and everyone's going to come back and play the same role. And it's incredible.
It's fun. And it's good for people who may or may not actually be into musical theater.
Yeah. It's great. It's got a fair amount of, it's heartwarming for these people that didn't become actors to recapture what they had. It's people that haven't seen each other for a long time. It's also some people that are like, I should have been on Broadway, but I'm not. And here, let me justify why I was so amazing, and then they're not any good. It's got every side of it. I would say it actually ends up being more on the positive side, but there is a lot of stuff in there that's kind of like that. There's a little bit of taste of like kind of some fun insanity and drama as well.
Okay. This might help make up for, I got in a little, quarantine tiff with my partner, because she likes the Randy Rainbow videos. I can't stand those Randy Rainbow videos. I cringe as soon as they turn on, and I just like, I clench up in that way. That's like, oh, I don't want to watch this at all. And it's, she likes them a lot, and they're, they've got good political commentary, and they also hit the like Broadway musical stuff that, that she really likes. And I just like, it hits on things where I'm like, I don't like these specific things. It's very hard for me to laugh at the current administration because it stresses me out too much.
Right. So she hasn't seen Encore either.
No. So I will tell her about this.
Yeah, this will be the biggest gift you can give.
She's currently flipping me off from the couch.
Oh, but
because of our tiff.
But now you're going to be able to watch
exactly
this show that's 8 episodes about musical theater.
Okay. If I get cringy, I just won't say anything, and then I'll grin and bear it.
Wait. What would you get cringy about? Because I don't think you get cringy at like things that are heartwarming.
No. Just the general musical theater vibe of musical theater stuff sometimes gets me a little like clenchy.
I mean, you don't even like Hamilton, so what are we gonna do with you, Casey?
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's less that I don't like Hamilton, it's that I haven't seen Hamilton yet, and I think the music is not good.
I mean. Yeah, it's going to be tough. So wait,
it's tough.
I'm going to assume then that you guys have not watched the Sondheim 90th birthday celebration.
No. I was watching The Last Dance.
Wait, what's The Last Dance?
On this basketball podcast, we've talked about the Michael Jordan documentary, The Last Dance. They were airing at the same time.
Oh, yeah, but the Sondheim thing is on YouTube.
Yeah, the Michael Jordan thing's on ESPN, so I could just,
they're always on at the same time, so I can't watch both.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what? I think we need to have your partner be a guest on my theater podcast.
Oh, yeah, so absolutely.
Because, you know,
we're about to watch it.
Yeah, we've seen the Eric and I have seen most of the Sondheim 90th birthday celebration, so we're going to watch the rest of it and do a podcast about it.
Nice.
Actually, I would be down for watching The Last Dance too and talking about that, since that's the thing that people are talking about right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched all of the episodes so far, so
I can definitely catch up on that. When is Space Jam 2 supposed to come out?
It's supposed to come out next summer, but with theaters maybe not existing for a while, we don't know when anything's actually going to be coming out.
I'm actually shocked that Universal said that Trolls World Tour made like $100 million.
Oh, I would have kept that all to myself. That I would have done.
Yeah, that's bizarre to me. Basically, they said that they made... they didn't make as much as it would have grossed if it was in theaters, but because there were like a lot less, like, I don't think they had to give cuts to theaters. Like, they're just getting $100 million directly for it, right? That they're basically making as much money as it would have. That's what I heard. Of course, AMC is having a fit about that now.
Oh, I'm so mad with my A-list. I just truly am so upset about the fact that they are...
That they're throwing that tantrum? So,
yeah, I mean, I'm so mad because, I was an AMC A-list guy, so now how am I going to see the fucking Fast and Furious 9 movie? That makes me so mad.
I think actually AMC will bend. I think AMC is at has much less leverage.
Yes, I think so too, and I hope they bend, because if they don't bend, I'll be very upset.
Well, we'll just have to cancel our A-list.
Oh, I don't want to do that.
I mean, it's going to be a while for us to have A-list anyway.
Yeah, like, I mean,
anywhere to go. We don't live in a state where we don't live in a state that, for example, on Monday in Texas, you can go to a movie theater. Which I definitely would not do.
No, even if I wouldn't do either.
I mean, even if it was, 25% capacity and 10 feet apart from everybody else, you're still in the same room for 2.5 hours with somebody.
Yep.
Breathing the same air.
It's so wild that like three of my four favorite things, like going to the movies, doing comedy, and watching basketball, were just like cut away from me in like one fell swoop.
Yeah.
So now I have like...
The fourth is podcasting.
And now I am just stuck in a place where all I can do is podcasts. I've been doing like 15 podcasts a day.
I mean, we're not too far away from just being in those Matrix pods.
Yeah.
And just relating to each other through our brains.
I'm excited to load up the goop. We've been getting some goop in our sink, and I'm excited to just load up the goop when I'm ready.
Well, be careful with that goop, because some of that goop will... steal all of your talent.
Oh no.
Just to be clear, for basketball, not sex.
Okay, got it.
If there was anything that movie made clear, is that goop only steals basketball talent and not sexual only performance. Talent.
No. Yeah. Cuz here's the thing. When I look at Patrick Ewing, I'm like, that guy fucks. That guy definitely fucks.
Okay, so do we have a movie for next time?
I don't believe that we have a movie for next time. So we gotta pick a movie for next time.
I've got a suggestion, but I feel like I picked this week's. So
I don't have a suggestion. So let's do yours.
Okay. Well, my suggestion was to just for a contrast of current basketball players in movies in presumed comedies. My suggestion was going to be Uncle Drew.
Oh, I'm in. I'm all in on Uncle Drew. That makes me so happy. I want to watch.
I figured you'd be into it. So let's call it now. Uncle Drew is our next movie.
Amazing.
Now, let me just do a little bit of research where we can find this movie.
I believe you can do it on HBO.
HBO. What streaming service has Uncle Drew? What? Hulu? Is it possible it's on Hulu? That would be great. No, it's not. Why do they have things on Hulu where you can just bookmark them?
Maybe it used to be on there.
I didn't know that Lil Rel was in. Is that Lil Rel?
Yeah, and he's so good. He's so good in Uncle Drew.
Let's see. You know what? Why don't we postpone Uncle Drew till... we could do it now. Let's be frank that I'm probably going to find an illicit way to watch this movie.
To
be honest, on Prime, actually, I probably have enough of those digital credits to buy it. Actually,
yeah,
it's $4 rental on Amazon Prime. All right, we'll stick with Uncle Drew.
Yay!
If anybody out there listening can't afford it, I just got my first California unemployment check. I'll pay for it for you.
Yay! Congratulations.
I'll send you $4. Yeah, I'm almost embarrassed by the unemployment because it's like I'm a freelance actor, so it's definitely more money than I was making.
Nice.
And I'm getting
you'll never act again.
Yeah. Why act when I could just stay at home, podcast, and play Dota 2?
Oh, nice.
All the time. If anybody's out there playing Dota 2, hit me up. I'm on my new staying positive movement in Dota 2.
Oh, so you never concede?
You can't concede in Dota 2, unlike League of Legends.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We talked about
that. In League of Legends, your team can decide to just quit. You cannot do that in Dota 2. No, I'm just not flaming people. I didn't realize this, but there's a feature in Dota 2 that lets you mute enemy chat during the game. So I have that turned on now.
Oh, nice.
So basically you can't get taunted by anybody from the other team. So it's just dealing with the other four guys on your team. And it's always four guys. It's like, I think I've played, I want to say 3,000 games of Dota and played with a woman less than 5 times.
Whoa.
You know, that was wild. Actually, yeah, pretty wild. Not great, but given the atmosphere, it makes sense. Uncle Drew's our next movie. Space Jam. I would say if you're a Michael Jordan completist, you should watch it. If you're a Looney Tunes completist, you should watch it. Trying to think of the other situations, you know. Do you think kids like watching basketball below 15, do they care about Michael Jordan these days?
Yes.
So maybe they should watch it.
The reason that I feel that they care about Michael Jordan is because I am an optimist.
Well, you know, when we were kids, you know how much we cared about like Calvin Murphy and Wes Unseld.
My number one guy is Calvin Murphy and Wes Unseld.
Yep. When we were growing up, those are the players we were always talking about. Actually, I mean, I would assume you're too young to even care about Dr. J.
As a
present day player.
Here's the Dr. J that I cared about. I cared about Dr. J as like a cool guy who I saw highlights of because my mom knew sports.
Did you care about Larry Bird primarily as a guy in the McDonald's commercial with Michael Jordan?
Yes. Yeah. 100%. That commercial meant everything to me as a kid.
The great basketball commercials. That's one. One of my favorites was the Nike. It was like the freestyling one where they're just dribbling.
Yeah.
It was people dribbling. Do you remember this? And it was like, they made music with the dribbling.
Yes, I do remember that.
And it was a lot of street basketball players, but then like Baron Davis would be in there. It was cool.
Hell yeah.
All right, Casey, I think we did it for this week.
We did it. Let's Uncle Drew it up.
Uncle Drew, I'm excited for this. You were so jazzed about this movie 2 years ago when it came out.
Oh, man. We did a full-on episode in New York about Uncle Drew.
That's right.
So we're revisiting it.
We're going to see how your feelings have changed.
Yeah, now that I'm not gonna watch this movie stoned off my ass.
I mean, you could, but
I mean, I'm out, so I'm not.
You know what? Maybe time has improved this movie.
Ooh,
certainly possible.
Like a fine wine. Although
I think I would say the world feels differently about Kyrie Irving at this point than it did when this movie came out.
That is true. He had not yet ruined two other teams.
I'm excited. Do you have any shows coming up?
If I do, I don't think we're confirmed for a show, but there's a chance that next week on the 8th, that Logan Everett would be doing a Zoom show for charity through We Improv, but we're not confirmed for it. So, if we are, I will post about it, but if we are not, I will not.
Okay, cool. Yeah. It is crazy that for a couple of weeks we were like making jokes about like, do you have a show this week? No, we don't. And now we kind of do have shows sometimes.
Yeah. I like friends of mine have been having shows and I have yet to do a Zoom improv show, you know, partially because like, you know, it's depressing to do it, that's just how I feel. I'm like depressed.
Period.
Just like, you know, the depression is real. You know, it's real, real hot in the streets right now. And you know, I don't know. I'm excited to have something like this turn it around for me, but we'll see how it goes.
We'll definitely tweet about that and we'll announce it if that's happening. And, I hope that ends up happening.
Yeah. Thanks.
Cool. I don't have anything going on. If you go to instagram.com/ChrisGraceComedy, I just put out another song that I wrote.
So good. These available songs. Happy that you're making some content in the content drought.
I feel like Prince because I enjoy listening to my own music, which is very narcissistic. I was telling Eric last night though, sometimes I hear these melodies. And then when I hear them, like I wrote this song maybe 10 days ago. And then when I hear them back, I'm like, I don't really know where this came from inside me, this melody.
Ooh.
Like, I don't feel like I constructed it a lot of times. It's just like, oh, neat. Here's a little tune. So that's just awesome. Fun to like sort of discover those things.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Cool, man. I think we're all good. And if you're anyone out there, again, Disney Plus, please check out Encore. Do not watch Absent-Minded Professor.
Don't watch that fucking movie.
Besides that, I guess we'll see you guys next time.
Yeah.